I seriously got a comment from one of my friends the other day that said, he's a younger guy. He's probably like 25. He's like, what is with all these millennials and Gen Xers and Gen Zers and using the ellipsis all the time in their texts? I'm like, are they using actual emphasis for grammar? And he's like, I don't know. It's just they'll have a bunch of words, and then all of a sudden it'll be this. And I'm just like, and so I wrote a sentence out using an ellipsis. And I was like, does it look kind of like that? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, then it's just grammar, and you're an idiot. Good. Glad to know we're on the same page.
Hey, guess what?
What?
It's freaking Thursday, dude.
It is.
Holy Maybe we crap. Can get Rebecca Black to make us a song. It's Thursday.
Will the rock do it? We'll call it Rebecca Black Adam.
Yes.
Oh. And the bad puns start.
Oh. I mean, we could probably even start off with that, a little bit of discussion of that, because none of us have seen it. It's release date tonight. So yes. Most of us, if we're going to see it, are going to see it in the next couple of weeks. But like everything we're seeing is like, audience 7.5 to 8, critics less than half. I've seen a lot of like predictable and boring and flat in the critics critiques. But that sprung into this conversation of like parodies of it, because Tim's like, oh, I'll just find a bootleg. And we're like, oh, we found you some bootlegs. And they were just...
they were top-tier bootlegs.
Adult version of Black Adam, yes. Shall we say.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure everybody watching
this movie's making so...
use their imagination.
The movie's going to sink so bad that The Rock had to go and do some porn to make money for it.
So, the movie's going to sink so bad that they're going to get the bootleg and be like, no, this was phase one of the DCEU. Black Bible Adam is really the phase one.
Well, at least you get the anime crowd into it, though.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, I don't know. I didn't expect anything anyway. So, I mean, I'll wait till you guys see it and let me know what you think. But I'm
so you can nitpick it?
I'm just done giving them money.
I'll be honest. I think Justin and I are both going for the same reason, and it's called Dr. Fate. Yes. And that's it.
Yes.
That is the only reason we're going to that movie.
The JSA is the only reason that I was excited for this movie to begin with. Yeah. And then I heard The Rock brings his normal charisma, and then everything else sucks. And I'm like, no, because everything else was the stuff I wanted to see. I don't want to see The Rock. I've seen The Rock in a million things. He's always the same.
Right.
I think the problem is first of all, you're listening to critics.
Yeah.
What was the last movie that the critics loved? Like comic book movie wise. Do we know for sure? Like someone look it up. Like
Endgame?
Probably Endgame.
Okay. So
or Spider-Man. The last Spider-Man, maybe.
Oh yeah, okay. That one got good. Yeah.
So I can look it up.
It's been a bit. Okay. Like pretty much, but before Endgame, they didn't like most of what they had, like
yeah.
what Marvel put out. Like what Iron Man 1, everybody agrees is an awesome movie. What was it?
Nobody likes 2. Everybody hates 2. Thor: Dark World, everybody hates, but I don't think Thor: Dark World's as bad as what people say, especially when you go and watch Thor 4. I'm like, oh, Thor: Dark World's amazing.
Okay. Well, the point is, though, the DCEU has not had very good luck, like at all. It's sad. It's Wonder Woman was solid, but Batman Superman flop. Snyder released his big thing, still a flop, just a longer version of the flop.
Yeah.
Way longer version. Slightly better. Slightly better.
So it's up to mediocre.
But still flopped.
No. Not even mediocre yet.
So it's still below average. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's, like I said, I've said this before. I don't know what Warner Brothers is doing. I don't know who they're getting their advice from. But odds are it's probably some 70-year-old dude. It's like, I used to read, you know, Batman back in the day, and he didn't do this stuff. And it's like, yeah, dude, because when you were reading Batman back in the day, that was Adam West from the 60s. So, yeah, there's a big difference of what's going on in current comics or current modern, you know, it's a disconnected generation. Unfortunately,
So, No Way Home had a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, so
and it earned every bit.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
I don't care if they spoon fed me, you know, fan moments or not.
But it's, I think, plus The Rock. The Rock doesn't really appear in
Academy
award winning movies. He's solid on TV. His TV is Emmy award winning stuff. Like his the Little Rock or whatever it is on Peacock. I actually watched it. It's actually pretty good. And then he did that Ballers on HBO, which is a phenomenal, actually. I love it.
Yeah.
So if it's TV, he's solid in it, but I think he's more comfortable with TV.
Yeah, because his last movie is, I mean, okay, so he was in League of Super Pets, which actually was really fun. Like my dog. But that's
voice
it,
acting. So. Does that count?
It's a little different. But he was in Red Notice, and it was okay. Wasn't great. Free Guy, who was a bit part. Jungle Cruise, which got like a 6.5 star out of 10,
which sucks because I thought Jungle Cruise was really good. It was basically Pirates of the Caribbean, Jungle Cruise. Literally.
Were they like, we can't do Pirates of the Caribbean anymore, so now we're going to have to do Jungle Cruise and like crank it up?
They're like, oh, there's these people with that are cursed, and there's this coin, and this girl that's coming who shouldn't really be in this scenario is in this scenario now, and she's trying to find the coin. Like,
but then he was in Jumanji. And then, like Jumanji, you said, Ballers.
That was probably the last.
Furious.
I think that was the last awesome like rock movie that I saw was the Jumanji series.
Yeah, but like think about hold on, I'm gonna give you some of these other really awesomely terrible rock, like we could do a whole podcast on just awesomely terrible rock movies.
The Tooth Fairy.
So hold on, wait. In order, and I will stop at, we'll say 2015, because we have to cut this off at some point. Skyscraper,
Rampage,
Jumanji, Baywatch, Fate of the Furious, Moana, Central Intelligence. Oh my God, he's in Gem and the Holograms as himself. San Andreas, right?
San Andreas is the one. Just stop. San Andreas, it's the top terrible rock film of
Furious
all time.
Furious 7.
Skyscraper. Whoa.
I'm gonna go one more into 2014 to just say Hercules.
Skyscraper was bad, but Skyscraper didn't have the Rock in a inflatable motorboat out racing a tsunami, so that
other than that,
with cargo ships coming at it,
other than that, probably Tooth Fairy or Gridiron Gang was pretty bad.
Wasn't he in Space Mountain too?
Doom,
I know he was Doom actually.
No, he wasn't in Space Mountain, he was in he was in Jungle Cruise. That was
he was in Space Mountain.
He was in it.
He did it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah. How did I miss that?
My question is this, though. So, you know, The Rock said this is the first movie in phase one of DCU. So, and okay. I keep seeing things that they're bringing Henry Cavill back as Superman. So my question is this tied to the stuff that's already happened? Are they referencing this, or are they just saying, hey, we're going to use Henry Cavill, but he's not that Superman. I mean, because the rumor is it's going to be Man of Steel 2. So if it's Man of Steel 2, and this is phase one, and this is the first film, then you're tying it into stuff that's already happened, and it's not phase one.
Well, so, is this multiverse? Is this like an Earth 2 thing?
Yeah, that's what I know.
Like, that would be the question, because if it's Earth 2, and they're not going to do regular Earth 1 stuff, which yeah. I'm kind of grateful if they do. Do Earth 2, do like a multiverse, do stuff like that, and it might work out better, because at least you can be a little flexible with certain things. Because isn't the Justice Society was more Earth 2 than they were in Earth 1?
Yeah.
So,
but also, like, we're still getting the Flash movie, so yeah. Where does that fall in this thing, and how does it fix the old shit and like rewrite it all out, including Ezra Miller himself?
Like, yeah,
depends if he goes to jail.
Do you remember when Marvel didn't have these big things for the fans, and they would show off every phase? Do you remember when they didn't, when they first started, and it was Thor and Iron Man, and it was just those were the movies? They didn't go, hey, phase one is all of these movies, and this is, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of what DC is doing. But DC is plagued by a horrible backlog of just awful movies. So they could, really, transparency would go a long way for them with fans. I think if you laid it out and said, here's where we're going, then you might get more people on board. But if you're telling just an average fan that watches Marvel movies and has seen some DC stuff already, that they need to just trust them and go see Black Adam and then see Man of Steel 2, they're not going to do it.
No.
They're just not.
No. But if they already wouldn't have said that Justice, like they built that Justice League universe.
Yeah.
Then he's calling it, maybe he just misspoke and meant to say phase two, but
yeah,
either way, like it's not real great for them. And
no,
and to be fair, Marvel was also plagued with some pretty shit movies
that
were still fantastically bad before, you know, before Favreau got involved, because you had like the Ben Affleck Daredevil.
Yeah.
You had the Blade trilogy, which was for the most part pretty okay.
Well, and Daredevil was like, it was like in association with Marvel, because Fox owned that, which there was a lot of that movie that I didn't hate. I liked a lot of
elements of that Daredevil movie. I love the acting. I just hated the script. That was really my thing.
I kind of liked his costume.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, I like it better than the padded armor one that Charlie Cox is wearing now. It looks better.
He may get that streamlined toward the end of the series, so
yeah,
we never know, you know.
Yeah,
because it's born again, so where's it going to go from there? And it does look a little different than it did in the last season of Daredevil. It looks a little more polished and together, so but
yeah. Well, it's a different chess piece completely, so.
Well, I guess we can all agree that this movie has to be huge for DC. Otherwise, it will be the first and last movie of phase one.
Well, what would you consider successful then? Like,
I think fan score, if the fan score is 75 to 80, and then it makes a decent amount of money, then it's a success. I don't really care what the critics. I mean, so let's see, October. What Spider-Man came out last year, or was it December? Or did it come out earlier?
December.
December.
Yeah.
I mean, this
was around Christmas time.
Does anybody know what the budget it was on the movie? Let me see if I can find that, because that's going to determine, you know, well, how much it has to.
Say it is number one box office for,
let's see,
3-4 weeks.
Is I can tell successful? You how much it grossed. It grossed $814 million.
Wow.
Black Adam cost almost $200 million to make.
Okay.
Okay, so it's got to make $400 million to be probably.
Yeah, I would say. Worldwide, probably $400 million.
Okay, so let's say it's number one for a month. Like,
yeah.
From what? Today's the 20th. From the 20th of October till the 20th of November.
Yeah.
If it stays like number one, number two in the box office, is that successful in your eyes?
I would say it's on its way to being successful. I would also, I guess it would be how many theaters is it going to be in?
It's got to be in every you know, theater, like the majority of theaters, I imagine. They're going to want to push this. They've been pushing it. So that it would be stupid of them not to put it in as many theaters as they possibly can.
Yeah.
And again, this is Warner Brothers. So they do have that little pull of, hey, you're going to show our movie like to every theater company in the US.
Do we know the timeline for when this will hit streaming as well? Cause that's going to make a big deal as well.
If it follows the HBO format, it will be
30 days.
I thought it was 60 days, but it might be 30 days after. It's one or the other after the launch.
Well, then if it's number one in the box, one-ish, two-ish in the box office for a month, and then it streams for like after that.
And so at Christmas, you can watch it for free.
Yeah. But what?
Merry Christmas. Let's watch this pile of shit.
But my question is like, take it has number similar.
45 days.
Okay.
So it's closer. Yeah, it's like the beginning of December then, right? Or be mid-December?
Something like that.
Beginning of December.
In time for Christmas DVD releases, maybe. You know?
Maybe.
But not early enough for Thanksgiving.
No.
So,
But like the, missing what out, if the viewership guys. For the streaming, even with the movie coming out, was similar to Sandman on Netflix, where it's like top 10 watched on all like HBO Max for a month?
Yeah, but they had that. They did that with Wonder Woman. That's what happened with Wonder Woman 84.
Hmm.
And I think that also happened with the Justice League Snyder Cut. So.
Hmm. And amazing, I've seen neither. So it's, you know.
Yeah.
And Wonder I have Woman, HBO Max. So it's
Wonder like, Woman was great because I loved looking at the string and like the terrible like green screen for things. Like it was a college project.
We've talked about this. Like there's about a half hour of that movie they could have just cut out and it would have been a lot better. Yeah. Or at least it would have flowed fast enough to feel better. Because the cheetah fight at the end was still sad. So
yeah. And dark. Very dark.
Right. Yeah.
It was like watching Venom. Remember when Venom fought in Venom 1, the symbiote at the end on the rocket?
Yeah.
And it was like the symbiote's like kind of dark gray, and then Venom's black, and then it's at night, and it's like I can't see shit. That was kind of the cheetah fight. So
yeah.
Okay. But to kind of get this discussion rolling a little bit further, we were also discussing on would you think The Rock's going to be in multiple movies, like if this is successful, like is he going to be anti-hero, he's in like one or two movies to kind of collaborate, like
I think he's the villain of this movie.
Well, but we don't know. Like
Villain of this movie, and I think he's going to end up being the villain in Shazam Fury of the Gods, and they're just hiding it from us.
Yeah.
But he shot two
endings to that movie. One if this movie sucks, and one if this movie's not bad.
Yeah, they could.
Yeah.
But like in the comics, you know, using it as a reference, he becomes part of the Justice League of Society.
Yeah.
So my question is, would they do that just to give that kind of a bump up a little bit? So maybe they do kind of have an Avengers, so to speak, or a Guardians of the Galaxy type thing where it's like Justice League of Society is not exactly a hot commodity in DC books.
Would this be their thing? It needs to be, they need to move to some lighter tones. Not as super light as the first Shazam, but a little lighter. And they need to bring hope into this universe. And by having him be on the Justice League, it would not work. He even tried to be on the Justice League in the Dark Crisis series. And then was like, nope, I'm out of here because you guys won't kill people. It's like, yep.
An anti-hero for you too. And that's going to be everything, you know?
So I don't think he would be, I wouldn't want him to be in any kind of a team scenario.
If he's not going to be that, is he going to be very Thanos or Kang-ish, like to Marvel's opposite of, is he going to be the bad guy for two, three, four movies? Could you see him doing that?
He could be. Let me rephrase it. The character has potential to be. Whether The Rock's portrayal of him is that is to be seen yet, and we will see within the next week.
Listen, they made 3 Ant-Man movies. Almost any one of these characters can be made into a movie that's enjoyable. The problem is, what's his involvement in this? And then the other problem to me is, you're kind of going in on, if you go in all in on Black Adam, and I don't have a Superman yet. I don't have a Wonder Woman. I don't have, you know, all these other characters that I know, but you're going to build, imagine if they built the MCU around Ant-Man in their first phase. You know what I mean? Like, where would we be? So
I don't know if I would compare Black Adam to Ant-Man, but
I'm not comparing him to, I'm comparing, like, I don't think that.
Are those, you thinking status wise?
Status wise, yeah.
I think Black Adam would be slightly higher than Ant-Man, even though I myself am a huge Ant-Man fan, but he's by far not the important character. It would be like starting, I want to say, from Marvel. Starting with maybe Hulk first, and building on Hulk, if they could do it, which we know it's all the license crap that they're fighting over.
I only disagree because when you go back and you look at the books, Black Adam, if you want to look at his appearances, at least from what I can remember in comic books in recent years, he had that one appearance in Justice League early in Bendis's run. He has the book that he has now. And then before that, it was all the way back to New 52, I think, when, you know, so that's what, 2011. So it's not like this guy's been around, but if you go and look at Ant-Man might not have had an ongoing, but he's had several miniseries over the course of those years.
Yeah.
But probably almost as many issues if you add them all up. So.
But I mean hierarchy, if, you know, we're going comic discussion. Hierarchy, I would put Black Adam slightly higher as far as power sets and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, I mean, Ant-Man's cool, but
if he's that strong, why? That's what I'm saying. Like, I want to, then he should be in more things. And the fact that they're only pushing him now in comics is only because he has a movie coming out. Like, where's he been for the last so many years? You know, that's my thing.
So he usually ends up being imprisoned by the wizard, Shazam. Yeah. But he was a big time villain and anti-hero back in the 70s and 80s though.
Yeah. No, like, I'm just talking more in recent time.
Yeah, but think about the fact that, like, even with Iron Man, like when Iron Man 1 came out, right?
Yeah.
We were in the middle of, we were not in a really great spot with Iron Man comics.
No, but if you put, if you said the words Iron Man and Black Adam to casual fans,
yeah,
who, what name are they going to recognize
well,
more?
Well, now they're going to know.
Now
Iron
they're
going
to say Iron Man.
Even at, before that,
at I think that point though, gonna... at that point though, I think it would depend on what generation you're talking to. Because yeah. if you're talking to dudes like us, it'll be a 50-50.
But
if
I you're read talking zero to the Iron collectors... Man comics before that movie.
Okay.
Zero.
But
I've
you,
gone back
but
and
you
read
probably
stuff.
Knew who he was.
But I knew he
there
was
an Iron
saying.
Man. But I'm saying there was an Iron Man cartoon. He was still part yeah. of the Avengers. But that was our generation. The guys yeah. a little like 10, 15 years before us had the ISIS show. They had the Family Shazam show. Yeah. Black Adam was on that. So yeah. they knew him from that. So like I said, depending on who you were talking to at the time, because when Iron Man came out, because that was like, what, 2007, 8? Something like that, right? Like, yeah. like that was 15 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So now you have to look at, a, like, you know, that dude who knew Black Adam is like 30 years older than the regular new, the newer casual reader. So that dude's in like his 50s. And we're in our 40s going, we know who both these guys are. We are more familiar with Iron Man probably because of all the extra stuff that's come along with the MCU. But these younger guys, they don't know who Black Adam is at all because they're 30 years apart now, because they're a whole generation gap
yeah.
where they really didn't use him. Yeah. So I don't think it's necessarily that if Black Adam would have came around at the time of Iron Man that people wouldn't have known who he was. I think it would have been a more 50-50 back then. Now, though, you're right. It's a lot more
yeah.
more strenuous. And even, but Shazam was the same way. Because, like, they, like, for the last 10 years, Shazam's books, for the most part outside of the Geoff Johns run, was the kid's book, Billy Batson and the Magic of Shazam. Yeah. And it was done by, like, wasn't it like Art Balthazar doing that or something? Like,
well, even,
it was crazy.
Even the dude that did Bone did a like a 4-issue yeah. miniseries for Shazam, which was really good.
Right. And Shazam had only had a mini, like he had like what, two minis. There was Trallis's Shazam. And then before that, there was a whole lot of nothing because it was all in litigation with the Captain Marvel yeah. stuff. So
now they could take that character and they could say, hey, this is, we know what Black Adam is in the comic books, but they could tweak him and make him different. We've seen Marvel do that with plenty of things where they said, well, yeah, that exists this way, but we're going to do it with a little twist. You know, Kamala's not going to have stretchy powers. She's going to have, you know, crystal powers. So they can make changes to things. I did notice some similarities between that and Iron Man in the trailer, like when he's flying between the two jets, very similar to Iron Man 1. When he's caught, you know, flying between the two jets, and then he takes the one jet down. So, they could make him into a hero if they wanted to.
Yeah,
and I think it would be a more like Tony Stark. You may end up, kind of connecting with Black Adam a little bit more.
Yeah,
especially if they go the route where I think they're going to go. Of him being a slave that was brutally beaten and
yeah.
this and that and the other. And that will always, it's a more realistic, especially like historical, because
it makes him the underdog too.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
and it, I think that people will gravitate towards that instead of, hey, here's an alien who's had superpowers, and he's basically a good kid that lived in Kansas, and everything's been handed on to him as a silver platter.
I disagree.
He just likes
if you
to
make
hide.
A Superman movie, and you do a good Superman movie, and you not Snyder garbage, people will go to see that. But the state of DC right now, in general, is it might not matter how good of a movie you make. People might not go see it anyways because they're tired of it. They're tired of trying to give them second chances, getting sold to this company, sold to that company. You know, I mean, the fact that they're even saying this is a phase one movie baffles me, because just like 3 months ago, they're like, oh, we were hiring this guy. He's going to be our guy that's going to direct phase one and set out our plan, our 10-year plan. And then that guy didn't even take the job. And now you're telling me the movie that was supposed to come out in 2021 before you even got your company bought is part of phase one. It's all BS. It doesn't make any sense.
Yep.
So that's my final take on DC. They have a lot of work to do if they want to bring people in and get that universe going.
But just remember, Constantine 2 will be part of phase one, so it'll be cool. All right, moving on.
I'm so excited for that. Okay.
Real quick, I want to thank everybody who came out to Cosplay Karaoke last night. It was a freaking blast. We raised $315 for the Hero Initiative. We are doing one in December, and we are just working out a date, and then we will announce it. And then don't forget, the one in February will be our either sixth or seventh year anniversary show, in which case we have this crazy idea. And you ready for this, Tim? Because you've not heard this yet.
So for what, the 200th?
For the Cosplay Karaoke, like, seventh
anniversary. Okay.
We're going to take every song that we've ever had someone sing, put it into a hopper, put it on a spin wheel, and then you sign up to sing, and you just go up to the wheel and you spin that wheel, and whatever song comes up, that's what you got to sing. And we'll put out the list ahead of time, so you at least know what the possibilities are.
Yeah,
but
was NSYNC ever on there?
I don't think so.
Backstreet Boys.
There's been a Backstreet Boy.
Yeah, okay, I think we've had at least one Backstreet Boy song.
I'll give it a shot.
Pick your favorite cosplay. Come on up. But that'll be in February. Also, pay attention to the Three Rivers website tomorrow. We have some cool announcements coming up tomorrow.
What?
That's your probably 12-hour early. Early warning, spoiler.
Okay.
And
Sunday.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing.
Comic Swap.
Well, actually, Saturday and Sunday. So Saturday we have Fear Fest coming up in Elwood in the warehouse. And not that it's not creepy enough, we decided to bring in people that sell even creepier shit. We have a dude who literally sells bones. We have a guy that sells serial killer memorabilia. There's all kinds of guy doing shirts. All kinds of stuff. Come check it out. It's right. And then you can go through the haunted house that is the Fearscape haunted attraction, which is in the basement of our other warehouse right beside it.
Careful, you won't run into Todd.
Ooh. Well, that was just going to say, the scariest thing is if Todd's there drinking, you may want to run anyway. Because he'll talk your ear off and it's scary. But then Sunday, Justin and I will be at the Pittsburgh Comic Show, done by our friends over at Pop Culture Comics, where Justin and I will have a wall of Amazing Spider-Man, basically like 6 or 8 to 300, 350. Bunch of keys, a lot of cool stuff.
Minus
a couple things.
Minus
a couple of them, because there's no Morbin time either, because somebody bought that. At Canton, because we actually premiered it at Canton. But no 121 because I bought it. Sorry.
it was
my gift to myself. But then after that, it'll appear at Cranberry on Monday, and it'll be there for 2 or 3 weeks, and then it's going to shift to Elwood for a couple weeks. So that Monday, Cranberry opens at 12 noon. We will see you there for that too, or I'll be there at least for that. So yeah, fun times. All right, so let's talk about some comics now, so that we can actually get out of here tonight. I thought this week was going to be short, and then we talked about freaking Black Adam for 3 hours.
Yeah, but that was good. That was good talk. I mean,
it was good.
We had to get into that. We had to talk about it. So,
all right, I'm going to go first because I have three books. Right,
three. I'll just do one then.
Okay.
And then I'll complain about Dark Crisis. I'll do one book and complain about Dark Crisis. Sound good?
Sure, sure. That sounds perfect, actually.
Okay.
Actually, I can trim it down to two. So, but my first book is / Hot Shorts from Tim Seeley. This is three stories, all done by Tim Seeley, as kind of a anthology of some things that he had written in the / universe over the last 18 years, because / is 18 years old this year. I think.
Hold on. It's legal.
I might be wrong.
Yay! Legal.
It might be even more than that, actually. Nope. It's 18. Yay! / is legal. The first one is like a very paranormal Johnny Cash story, actually. It's called Highwayman to Heaven. And I think it's like a little tribute to him. But it's very, very good. I really enjoyed it. The middle story is the / story where it's Cassie and Vlad. And it's this really awkward thing where they're kind of like they've killed all these monsters, and Cassie's like standing there soaked in blood, standing in her underwear, and Vlad's about to spray her down and he's soaked in blood, and he's just like, if I use this hose, the hose touches you, that means I'm touching you, and I've never touched anyone. And she's like, oh god. So she's like, all right, take off your clothes, keep your underwear on. She's like, you do wear underwear, right? He's like, yeah. So she like scrubs him down with a sponge, and when she goes to like wring out the sponge, he like sprays her in the back of the head. So then they get into like a water fight with the bucket. She ends up squirting him in the face with soap because he took his mask off, and his eyes are burning. And he's just like, no, so burning, the burning, oh, the burning. Because that's why he wears his mask, to keep all the bad things from getting to him. And then she puts the mask back on him and he just sprays her down. The last one is this weird one with Mary Shelley Lovecraft, who's basically Mary Shelley with like a Cthulhu triple, like arm tentacle thing, but she can mess with like stories is like her power. So she's fighting Love Bunny and Mr. Hell, and they get convinced to let her finish her plan so she can go back and like disappear into her world. So she does, except that in her world now, because it got messed up, all of the universes for / are now like merging on this point. So you have Eva, the daughter of the dragon, show up. Then you have Vampirella show up. Then you have Purgatory show up. And then Cassie Hack shows up, all to beat the hell out of this girl. And it's awesome. So if you're into / if you've paid any attention to that and knew actually what I was talking about, this book is for you. If not, I would recommend going back and picking up like Omnibus 1 or 2, or at least My First Maniac. That was the first / book out there. But it is very fun. Tim does not disappoint ever. So go check it out.
It's at 100% true. I never disappoint, not once in my life.
I mean, I am talking about the same guy who writes Money Shot. So,
oh, not me, Tim.
I mean, your track record's probably like 95% non-disappointing.
I think that's exactly where I want to be, which means I didn't disappoint.
Yeah, exactly.
If I disappoint 5% of the times, then I'm being accurate to what I want to do. So,
yep. Like, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah, it's like Inception. Sort of. Yes. Justin, do you want to go next?
Sure, I'll go.
Disappointing the disappointment.
My book, one of my two books, I'm only doing two because that's all I had time to skim over, is Midnight Suns the second issue. I don't know if we talked about the first issue or not on this show.
I don't remember.
I think that was one of our hiatuses. But they are, Marvel's doing a Midnight Suns series. It's a different Midnight Suns than what you're thinking of. It is not as... Okay. I'm looking like, that's not the cover of the comic, but okay. But it's a team of, what is it? They're in the Academy, the Strange Academy, I guess.
Okay.
One of the students happens to be prophesized to the apocalypse. Now, there happens to be some random heroes like Wolverine. Magic is there. Who else? Blade is there.
It's a lot of the characters from the video game, right? A good portion of the ones that are supposed to be in the video game. Because this was supposed to release around the time of the video game, and then the video game got pushed back to like December or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, you know, the first issue. They're finding out. Agatha Harkness takes the child and skedaddles somewhere. At the end of issue one, Dr. Doom appears because now he's Dr. Doom and he has to be, you know, random jerk. So this is where issue two this week picks up. He basically starts, you know, where is this child? Blah, blah, blah. They don't know. But, you know, hey, if you're going to be a jerk, we're going to slap you around a little bit. So there's a brawl. Basically, Doom pretty much beats their ass for most of it. But you also see part of this is Agatha Harkness kind of get a little bit more backstory on her as she's telling the child where they're hiding. I guess they're hiding in a witch's mansion type thing. It's protecting witches. And you get a little bit of background of like how this apocalypse is going to start. Excuse me. But it's not a bad, I'm intrigued. It's kept me kind of going with it because I really wasn't going to pick up any new books like, unless it's something that really catches my eye or is like a one-shot or a limited series. So I'll be interested to see where this goes from here.
I noticed that Agatha is younger.
No, she's older. This is old school Agatha. This is
But she's not Agatha. Like super wrinkly, is she?
No, she's like Golden Girls age.
Is she's she
out there?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she kind of looks like Bea Arthur, actually, to be honest.
Okay. So, I thought I saw a picture where she was, where it was like, you know, a little bit younger with like a gray strip coming down with like all black hair.
No.
And she looked, okay.
So I think that's one of the other teachers. That's one of the other teachers in the academy. Okay. That's not Agatha. That's another teacher. I haven't read Strange Academy, so I don't know all the teachers other than Brother Voodoo and Doctor Strange. So
but I have to finish the last arc on that too, so I don't remember that character from Strange Academy, but you're probably right.
So yeah, but I so far I'm enjoying it. This may be like a newer book that I'll probably continue to be interested in there. So
nice. I read all of Spider-Man. All 11 issues that came out.
Sure, go for it.
So I'm not going to review them all, but I will say the Tombstone story is very interesting. I like what they have done there. This series so far is pretty good. I've enjoyed it so far. So if you're looking for, if you like Spider-Man and you don't hate John Romita enough to, you know, you want to read the book, I would check it out. But I'm a big Gwen Stacy fan, and this is the tie-in issue for Judgment Day that I read, and it's gonna make you cry. like a lot. Let me grab the and then take a picture of the cover. I'll show this in a second then, because I don't want to show the images right away. This whole issue is Peter getting judged, right? He's doing things, he's going out, and then he's like feeling like a bad person. And this the progenitor shows up to him, Celestial, as Gwen Stacy, taking the form. But you know it's the Celestial because the one eye is kind of like radiating red energy out of it, like the Celestial does. That's kind of like their way of saying, like, that's what this is. And he thinks he's going crazy, and he's just doing all these like tasks. And he's like, oh shit, I'm probably getting judged, you know. So he goes to J. Jonah Jameson. He's like, look, you know, I don't think you're a bad guy. You know, I forgive you for everything that we've done. And Jameson's like, oh God, thank you so much. He's like, did you guys hear that? Because like everybody in the world's getting judged at this point. So this is all Peter going around and basically trying to make sure he's making right in the world. And when that happens, the Celestial tells him that he has been judged and been deemed worthy. And he said, so you will receive my gift now. And the progenitor becomes who was Gwen Stacy, brings Gwen Stacy back to life. This is not a trick. This is the real Gwen Stacy.
So this is...
So is she like 19-year-old Gwen Stacy that died?
Yes.
Exactly like from the moment that she left.
Yep. So she shows up, she sees Peter. And he's like, that's you.
Hold on,
and
can you go back to that one, panel before? So is it just me, or does it look like her skirt used to be pants and it got ripped down to her feet? Like yeah. that, this first, Wait, like that first panel mean? Where the boots are, it makes it look kind of rapey there. And I'm just saying that's weird. Continue on.
Okay. So. She shows up. And she's like, Peter, you're older. And he's like, yeah, I don't really know what to say. And she's like, I really missed you. And he's like, I missed you too. And then she's just like, I have to leave. He just wanted us to have this moment because, you know, he's worthy. And just this whole scene, 30 seconds, 20 seconds of him getting to be with Gwen again. And it's actually her after all the times that they've kind of brought her back, but it wasn't really her, it was somebody else, and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like, this was actually her from the moment she died. And, like, seeing the two of them together, it was just like, I don't know.
I just wish the art didn't suck on it.
They did somebody different that issue, and I think probably because it was a tie-in issue, I wasn't a big fan of it either, but the story was so well written and so emotional that it kind of like
overshadowed
seeing one or two. Yeah. Seeing one or two panels. Yeah. You could definitely, but like, if you read this the whole issue,
Chip Zdarsky stuff, right?
No, this is the, is it Zeb Wells or shoot.
Oh, it might be Zeb Wells. Maybe that's what I
think
I was thinking.
Zeb Wells. I think it's Zeb Wells. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if you like Gwen Stacy. I've always wanted them to just kill Mary Jane, like make her sacrifice herself so Gwen can come back to life and Peter can have Gwen and they can live happily ever after. Mary Jane's a skank. You know, Peter deserves better.
I just think it's the difference between your high school girlfriend and your college girlfriend.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But yeah, either way, if you liked that character, that was a very emotional issue, and it was really good, very well written. So,
okay, sounds good.
Sounds super all right.
Let me make sure I pick the right thing here. Continuing in the spider trend, Deadly Neighborhood Spider-Man. So. I don't know where the hell this book takes place in the timeline, but he's out in Malibu working on something, and he keeps having nightmares. And this book, like, I was, like, really not getting sucked in until the very last page. I was very, like, okay, where the hell is this going? I don't know what's going on. But basically, Spider-Man's working on something with a friend of his. He finds this weird totem that has markings on it, and every time he touches it, he has these crazy nightmares. And it goes on and on like that throughout the book, and it starts to be where his real world and nightmare world starts to blend. And in the very last page, you find out why, and I can either tell you what sucked me into this whole thing, or you can find out on your own. What do you want?
Next week.
What?
Yeah, because then I can go read it, because now you...
We're
now
not going to be here next week.
No, that's true.
Whenever we come back.
Tim can do a solo episode just on this last page.
Because you sold it, and now I want to go read it.
I will tell you that people who are fans of Bill Sienkiewicz are going to love that last page.
Oh,
that's
nice.
All I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Okay.
That's cool.
Okay. That's cool.
I will read that tomorrow.
All right. So, Justin, your next book is right?
Yep. Crypt of Shadows.
There
you
go.
There we go.
Boom.
Since it is Halloween season, I figure I'd pick this up. Especially after the Werewolf by Night,
I just figured because it had Moon Knight and Wolverine in it, you were going to talk about it. So,
well, it's not Wolverine; it's Laura Kinney. It's
only, you're right. Sorry, my bad.
No, Wolverine is in Midnight Suns.
Isn't she still Wolverine though, or is she going back as X-23 again?
It is that. I will get to that in a minute.
Okay, cool.
Well, so here we go.
I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry.
All right. This Crypt of Shadows is basically Marvel's version of Tales from the Crypt, and they're using all their characters. The Crypt Keeper is Doctor Strange's brother that's trapped in the mirror.
Okay.
And he goes and he's like, I'd like to tell you some tales. So, very Crypt Keeper-like. So, it starts off, the first... story has Blade's other daughter, the one that was introduced in Free Comic Book Day. It is, I guess this would be her first story in comics, solid story in comics. It goes in, it's Halloween. Her and her friends are doing a seance. Yes.
Yeah. I'm flipping through the book and following with you. So
yeah. So it's, the one of her friends gets possessed. She exorcises this ghost out, and you find out the ghost is it's not a bad ghost, but it is it's a ghost waiting for a loved one. It's kind of a very very Tales from the Crypt, TV series in my mind, of a very kind of, okay, it's one of those, you kind of feel good at the end of the story. Like, there's five stories in this. So, each one's different. Each one's done in various ways. The next one is Werewolf by Moon Knight, it's called, where... the new Werewolf by Night is invited to this shady mansion in the middle of the night. And lo and behold, apparently the mansion has this big bad who's never really revealed. But they happen to be, I think they're like a cult of werewolves or something. They want the new Werewolf by Night to join him. He's battling the butler that ends up turning into a werewolf. And here comes crashing in his Moon Knight. He's like, oh, wait a minute, there's two werewolves. Which one should I kill? So, and then thank God for the friend who's like, tells me, like, hey, it's the other werewolf, not the one that you're on top of. So he rescues werewolf. This turns like this is going to be like the next, this is going to open up to Werewolf by Moon Knight. I guess they're going to do a series on this. So this is like the first story that's going to come out of that.
Oh, cool.
So it's kind of interesting. I was like, okay, cool. The next one after that is a Morbius one.
It's Morbin time.
Yep. It is, what is it? He's, you see these little grasshopper mosquito things floating around. It's randomly biting people and it's causing like violence in them. And Morbius is confronting, I don't know who this other character is. I forget her name. But she and Morbius are
Victoria, I guess, Montes.
Okay. I still don't know who that
Montesi.
Is.
Montesi. I don't know Montesi. Who that is either.
Okay, so it's apparently she's a sorceress or part of the occult. Of course, you know, she's kind of getting into it with Morbius because Morbius was going to like vigilante some dude that was going to rape this girl in an alley. And apparently she's like, well, you can't kill him. And he's like, screw you. Well, Morbius is starting to get bit by these green bugs. And at first it's not too bad because he's a vampire, so it's not really hitting him too hard, but it keeps hit like more of them multiply and they're biting him more and more. Well, his rage starts getting to him. The bugs are talking, making him rage, making him bloodthirsty. He almost kills this girl, until I guess, this dude comes down. I thought it was Brother Voodoo at one point, but it's not. He just looks like him. He comes Vixen down.
Is his name?
Yeah.
Or no, so, sorry. She's Vixen. He's Jinx.
Yes. So yeah. It's like, I don't know these characters, so it's
me either.
I'll have to, you know. Well, apparently Morbius killed his parents a long time ago. So his vengeance was this spell, which he didn't mean to do it, but it's a Darkhold spell, and apparently the Darkhold is still destroyed, going by Multiverse of Madness theory here. But apparently he just knew how to do this spell, and he wanted Morbius to hurt so badly he almost got his friend killed. So he gets disbanded, you know, the Morbius is like, this kid's too dangerous that he knows spells from the Darkhold. He has to go. And she's like, you're not touching him. You leave us alone. And that's the end of that. I think this may be a Morbius storyline. Whether they release it as a book, we'll see. This seems to be like almost like a free comic book day, except they charge you for it. So you're getting short story after short story. What is it? The next one is the Blade's other daughter, Bloodstone. She is contracted to hunt man spiders. She's searching for man spider. Well, the man spider she runs into is Spider-Man man spider. And she runs into Johnny Storm, and Johnny Storm's like, hey, I want to save my friend. And, you know, she reveals that she was hired by the pharmaceutical company that started this thing, because apparently this is like some sort of disease now that's spreading to people, not just Spider-Man. So, all in all, they save him. They turn him back into himself. So that's the way that one ends. And the last story in this is Man-Thing versus All-New Wolverine, Laura Kinney. Now, this is set in some kind of weird universe. They're stuck into the what's called the Infinity Swamp. And apparently Man-Thing's scent triggers her bloodlust, her blood berserk. So she just loses all sense of self. And throughout the story you're reading, this goes on for millions and millions of years of them two just fighting because she regenerates, he regenerates. She becomes more feral with each passing year, moment, whatever. It's just like an ongoing battle of carnage. So that's basically the whole basis of that story. I don't know why they had to do that, but they did it. I enjoyed the whole book, actually. I liked where they were going with this. Now, if this is just a one-shot, I'm even better with it. Just release it for Halloween. Yeah. I'm cool with it. They seem to lay little seeds for Moon Knight, Bloodstone, Blade's Daughter, Morbius. I think the Man-Thing or Kenny thing was just kind of a throw-in. Let's give them like some sort of weird story to add on to it. But I liked it. I thought it was kind of cool. I chose it for, like I said, it intrigued me when I saw it. And it's Halloween, so let's stay with the theme of October spooky stuff going on. So.
You talked about like the TV, like Tales from the Crypt and stuff like that. I like the way they did that with the narrator between every story.
Yes.
I thought that was really cool effect, and it made it feel like what you were describing.
Yeah. It's very simple formula, but I like it. It, like I said, it's very nostalgic for those of us who watched Tales from the Crypt back in the day. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a big fan, so you know, I was cool with it. If they made that a series, I would probably do it. I think their problem is would they have enough creative writing to continue doing short stories like that?
Yeah, well, it's all sales. If it sells well, I know. I think we're sold out already. So.
Yeah, I think
my copy. So.
I was going to say, grabbed the last copy out of the mills. So I snagged it.
John, did you say you caught up on Dark Crisis?
No.
Okay. I'm caught up on everything Dark Crisis. And I'm not going to show screenshots. I'm just going to say, this event sucks. I hate it so much. I have no clue where they're going with this. And I watched Lex Luthor in his Iron Man armor beat Deathstroke. Now, maybe mostly Deathstroke, I would say like 80-some% more of the time. But this Deathstroke was powered by Pariah, who was giving him basically never-ending dark matter power of some sorts and amplified him. And regular Lex Luthor in his Iron Man suit still beat him. That's how dumb this series is. I have no clue where they're going.
I gave up after like the second issue. So
in the current issue, they're all kind of like Barry saves Hal, and then they're going to save Batman, and then they go to save Clark, because everybody has their own world. And while they're living in that world that Pariah put them in, they're making him stronger. So then when they get back together, it's going to make them even stronger. So they go see Clark, and they're like, you know, you don't want to be here. Like, this isn't, he's like, I know it's not real. It's just, it's kind of nice to be around, you know, like Ma and Pa again. And then he transforms into this blue energy Superman, not like the Ron Friends blue energy, like some weird version.
You got me all excited, Tim.
So like, but they didn't say it was like some trick dark energy matter Superman. I think it was actually him. And I don't understand where they're going with this. You can't, I mean, we're 5 issues in and you can't see any possible way that this is going to end. It's just
right
all over the place. Poop.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I have one book left and I'll make it short. And it's Batman Incorporated 1. It really wasn't that good.
Yeah. The art was.
The art was fantastic. But the story was very, very, very boring. Because, you know, they like tripled the amount of people that are part of Batman Incorporated. The highlights for me were seeing Knight being former Squire being Knight doing actual stuff. And Batman Japan getting a name. And that was pretty much it. Those were the highlights of the book for me. The whole story is that Batman's on Atlantis, so no one can get in touch with him. And Ghostmaker is running the team, and they are hunting down people who are killing Ghostmaker and Batman's teachers.
Oh.
That's it. That's the whole story. And I'm like,
that is the most boring Batman story I've ever heard.
It seems like an attempt to try to push Ghostmaker into the spotlight more and give him like a leading role. I'm not a big fan of that character. I like the clown killer kid. I thought he was cool. And they kind of threw him in there also. There was a lot of really cool things that happened in that Tinian Jorge Jimenez run that now seems like they're taking those pieces and misusing them. And that's what's kind of a bummer.
It's kind of, well, they're like jamming them into that Grant Morrison lineup that they had. And it's kind of being like, well, do we really need these other guys in here? Like, yeah. And where are all the other guys and who's what now? And like, it's very weird because like the teams are very split up into like an older lineup, newer lineup guy, like throughout the team, throughout the book. But it's just not
real. Where's Azrael then? If you're going to do it, you might as well have Azrael in there.
Azrael was not part of Incorporated.
Yeah, but you might as well put him in there if you're going to do it.
I think he has his own mini series going on right now. So maybe that has something to do with him not being there. But
well, he also tries to not actually be Azrael. He tries to keep himself safe and not murdery by being a monk. So like that's what he knows. He's not stable enough to be on that team. And that's why he's not on there. I mean, he was born from an ape. What do you want? So Jean-Paul Vallée, ape baby. So
great show.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. So,
all right. I liked our talk at the beginning. It was a lot of fun. I think people will enjoy listening to that because that was, I guess if it is phase one, like that was kind of important to have that discussion. So,
yeah. So remember everybody, no show next week because Justin will be in Baltimore. Nasha to next week. welcome to Glasgow. Sorry.
Kermiger, Nersher.
The following week we'll be back and I'll give you a full report on how awesome Baltimore was. Because it's going to be.
We may have Todd Picks.
Oh, crap. No. Oh. I didn't mean to put that up. What? On there. Oh. How did that get there? Hey. My bad. Happy Halloween. Hey, I just want to leave everybody with one terrible, sad thing because I do. This got delayed, the last issue, till next February.
Oh, that's a long time.
Wow. That is a super long time.
That's a really long time.
I'm really bummed
crap.
Oh. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thanks everybody for watching, and we will catch you in 2 weeks.
Yep.
See ya.
Peace.